Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Come on in. Find a seat. We are so blessed that you are here. If you are a guest with us this morning, thank you so much for joining us for worship today. And our prayer is that our service will be a blessing to you. If you have any questions about our service, feel free to ask afterwards and we'll try to answer those questions for you. When you came in, you should have received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you just take a moment and fill that out and drop it in the offering plate, or just leave it on the information table out in the foyer, that would be such a big help to us. Everybody got a bulletin? Let's take it. Let's open it up. If not, please make sure that you get a bulletin on your way out so that you're apprised of everything that's going on this morning. Right after our morning service, we have Sunday school. Remember, we have Sunday school from children all the way up through adults. And so we want to encourage you to be able to stay. This is just another opportunity for you to be able to study God's word. Tuesday night, men, we have leadership team meeting right here at the church at 6:30. Wednesday, Joy Bible study at 1:30 here at the church. Thursday, Awana, it's hockey night. That'll be a great and fun night for our kids. And then Saturday, there's Ladies Connection. There's an announcement in the bulletin about Ladies Connection. So ladies, please make sure that you pay attention to that. I apologize for my voice. For those of you that are guests, this is not my normal voice. It might be better than my normal voice. I'm not sure. But I have no idea what now all of a sudden is going on. So you pray for me, I'll pray for you. Okay? Because you have to endure it. Hopefully I'll have something to be able to endure it for. Next Sunday, not right after our service, but later on in the afternoon, we are going to have a Super Bowl get-together, and that's going to be in place of our church family dinner. So we want to eat about 4 o'clock. There's details in the bulletin. If you have any questions about what the bulletin is trying to tell you, come and see me, and I'll try to answer those questions for you. But we want to meet at 4 o'clock. We want to eat because kickoff is at 4:30. And there's somebody in our midst that does not want to miss kickoff. Just saying, okay? Because there's a team that's near and dear to his heart that's playing in the Super Bowl. Just saying, okay? All right? So if you have any questions, feel free to ask. Well, we are in the midst of a champion today. Did you notice? Do you know that? So Alyssa, stand up. Alyssa Montano, just a couple weeks ago, won first place for 12th grade in a chess tournament, the Scholastic Regional State Chess Tournament. That's a pretty big deal, right? So let's give her a hand. But not only that, she took fourth place overall. Wow. Isn't that good? So if I was you, I would not challenge her to a chess match. Just letting you know that might not be a good idea. Alyssa, we are so proud of you. Thank you for sharing this accomplishment with us. All right, are you ready to worship? Yes. Is that what you came for? Yes. Hopefully, that's what you came for. Prayerfully, that's what we all came for. Let's go. Let's worship.
Would you all stand with me as we begin this morning?
O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. O Lord, we praise your name. O Lord, we magnify your name. Prince of peace, mighty God. O Lord, God Almighty. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. O Lord, we praise your name. O Lord, we magnify your name. Prince of peace, mighty God. O Lord, God Almighty.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord, amen. Our hope is in Him alone.
I meet with You, and my soul sings out as Your word throws doubt far away. I sing to You, and my heart cries, holy, hallelujah, Father, You're near. My hope is in You, Lord, all the day long. I won't be shaken by drought or storm. A peace that passes understanding is my song, and I sing, my hope is in You, Lord. I wait for You, and my soul finds rest. In my selfishness, You show me grace. I worship You, and my heart cries glory, hallelujah, Father, You're here. My hope is in You, Lord, all the day long. I won't be shaken by drought or storm. A peace that passes understanding is my song, and I sing, my hope is in You, Lord. I will wait on You. You are my refuge. I will wait on You. You are my day long. I won't be shaken by drought or storm. My hope is in You, Lord, all the day long. I won't be shaken by drought or storm. The peace that passes understanding is my song, and I sing, my hope is in You, Lord. My hope is in You, Lord. My hope is in You, Lord.
If your hope is in the Lord today, give Him a round of applause. Come on. He is our hope. Would you be seated as we continue this morning? As we sing this next song, it's called Living Hope. Living Hope, it's a story of how Jesus bridged that great divide between us and God. And it's because of that that we have hope, and He's alive, and His name is Jesus.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke Your name into the night. Then through the darkness, Your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his throne. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Alleluia, praise the one who set me free. Alleluia, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Oh, alleluia. Praise the one who set me free. Alleluia. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Alleluia. Praise the one who set me free. Alleluia. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh God, you are my living hope.
Jesus, thank you for taking that cross. Thank you for taking that punishment for our sin. Thank you for offering us eternal life for free as a gift when we believe in you for it. Lord, thank you. Our response today is gladness. Our response today is joy. Our response today is praise because you're worthy of it, Lord. Our response today is hallelujah. Praise you. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. You truly are a living hope. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What is our hope in life and death? Christ alone, Christ alone. What is our only confidence that our souls to Him belong? Who holds our days within His hand? What comes apart from His great plan? And what will keep us to the end? The love of Christ in which we stand. Oh, sing hallelujah, our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah, now and ever we confess, Christ our hope in life and death. What truth can calm the troubled soul? God is good, God is good. We
where is His grace and goodness known? In our great Redeemer's blood, who holds our faith when fears arise, who stands above the stormy trial, who sends the waves that bring us nigh unto the shore, the rock of Christ. Oh, sing hallelujah. Our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah. Now and ever we confess Christ our hope in life and death. Unto the grave, what will we sing? Christ, He lives. Christ, He lives. And what gift will heaven bring? Everlasting life with Him. There we will rise to meet the Lord. And sin and death will be destroyed. And we will feast in endless joy when Christ is ours forevermore. Oh, sing hallelujah, our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah, now and ever we confess Christ our hope in life and death. Now and ever we confess Christ our hope in life and death.
As we take our morning's offering, I just want to remind all of our guests this morning that if a plate passes in front of you, don't just give because it's there. Give because you want to honor your God. Lord, we ask that You would take all that we have to give, our praises, our worship, whatever gifts we brought with us this morning, Lord, we give it to You. We're here to worship You, not here to worship us or a song or a church or anything. We're here for You. Lord, we love You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh God, You are my God, and I will ever praise You. Oh God, You are my God, and I will ever praise You. I will seek You in the morning, and I will learn in Your ways, and step by step You'll lead me, and I will follow You all of my days. Oh God, You are my God, and I will ever praise You. Oh God, You'll lead me, and I will follow You all of my days. I will follow You all of my days. I will follow You all of my days. And step by step, You'll lead me, and I will follow You.
Come on down, kids. We'll get you ready for children's church.
All right. Let's pray.
Father, We're so grateful that step by step we can follow you. Father, knowing that you will guide us, as we learned a couple weeks ago from Psalm 23, you will guide us into those places of safety. Guide us in those places of provision. Guide us in those places of service. So, Father, I just pray that that really, truly is the desire of our heart, to follow you step by step. And Father, now as we open up our hearts and open up our ears to hear your word, Father, I pray that it will help us. It will give us the things that you know that we need to be able to keep following you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, while they're being dismissed, turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Joshua chapter 1. Beginning our series of messages in the book of Joshua. I'm excited about this series. I hope you will be just as excited as I am. And at the end of the book of Joshua, Joshua basically says to the Lord, I'm going to follow you step by step. He makes a statement, a pretty bold statement. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know what? That's not just a nice saying that you could put on a plaque and hang it on the wall in your house. Okay, I know many of you probably have that. But you know what? It's really a truism. As for me and my house, we need to come to the place to where we serve the Lord. And if we're serving him, guess what? We're not serving the world. If we serve him, we're not serving ourselves. And if we serve him, we're not serving the devil as well. So there are going to be lots of lessons we're going to learn in this book of Joshua. In an episode from the Andy Griffith Show, Andy Taylor, the sheriff of Mayberry, is out of town. Kids, if you don't know anything about the Andy Griffith Show, Google it, okay? Or look it up on YouTube. His deputy, Barney Fife, is in charge. Now, those of us who are older, we remember Barney Fife, right? Can't get that image out of our mind. He's in charge, and he's deputized the local mechanic named Gomer. We all remember Gomer, right? And the two deputies are walking down the street one evening when they notice that someone is robbing the town's bank. And filled with fear, they hide behind a car, and they don't know what to do. Finally, Gomer looks at Barney and says excitedly, Shazam! We need to call the police. And with total exasperation, Barney responds, We are the police. You know, as we look at our world and see the unrighteousness around, it might frighten us. We're not sure what to do, and we think somebody ought to do something. And we need to realize that God has called us to do something. We are the police, so to speak. The reason why I say that is because God has given a calling to every believer. And his calling may go something like this. There is a purpose for your being here. You are meant to answer something, solve something, provide something, lead something, discover something, write something, say something, sing something, create something, teach something, preach something, bear something, overcome something, and in doing so, you can help others. So the call is given to every believer in Jesus as Savior. Do something. And has he called Joshua and as he calls us, we need to do something in God's strength and courage for God's glory. Now, the only thing we may lack is the strength and courage to answer God's call. Joshua, Moses' successor, found himself in a very similar situation. Moses had just died, and now Joshua's in charge. God has called Joshua to lead the Israelites back into the promised land, to possess all that God had given them. And part of what he had given them was a land. And God had given them 300,000 square miles. But as we're going to see in our study of the book of Joshua, they only claimed about 30,000 square miles. Now, this was a big task. But God says to Joshua four times, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous as you face the task ahead. Be strong and courageous as you change the culture in this land. Be strong and courageous as you answer my call on your life. The question is, how? How do we do that? The answer is this. God calls Joshua and us to have strength and courage. One of the ways that that comes is by trusting in God's promises. We need to trust God's promises. Hopefully by now you found Joshua chapter 1. Follow along as I read verses 1 through 6. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Now the leader of Israel, I want you to catch this, the leader of Israel is still alive. Now you might be saying, wait a minute, Pastor. We just read that Moses is dead. Moses wasn't the leader of Israel. God was. And you know what? God still is. Hasn't changed any. And God wants to be the leader of us. And God reminds Joshua of the promises he made to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and to Moses, the promise of land and the promise of his presence. So based on those promises, God says, be strong and courageous. If you want to find the courage to do what God calls you to do, trust in the promises of God. Rely on what God has promised to do for you. And God hasn't promised anything different to us than what he promised to Joshua. His promises to Joshua still stand. Even today, they're still available for us today. Guess what? God promises his power and his presence to you and me. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. With the promise of God's unlimited power and God's eternal presence, we can answer his call. All we need to do is trust his promises. Here's the next thing we need to understand. We need to follow God's word. Look at verses 7 and 8. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. See, the person who follows God's word demonstrates spiritual wisdom. What does God tell Joshua and what is God telling us? Don't let God's word depart from your mouth. In other words, constantly talk about it. Meditate on it day and night, God says. In other words, constantly think about it. Now, we need to talk about it and we need to think about it, so that we can, get this, do what it says. It's not enough to just talk about the Bible. It's not even enough to just think about the Bible. We must follow what it says. And when we follow what it says, what does God promise? Good success. Or the spiritual success God desires every single one of us to have in our heart and life. That's God's calling for Joshua. And you know what? That's God's calling for us. James chapter 1 and verse 22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And such a person as that, James says, will be blessed in his doing. So when you follow God's word, you will find the strength and courage to fulfill God's call on your life. Now, when we talk about God's calling, oftentimes we look at it as in regards to a spiritual vocation. Some of you are sitting here going, I hope God doesn't ever call me to be a preacher. I hope God doesn't ever call me to be a missionary. I hope God never calls me to be a teacher in the church or other places. That's not God's calling. God's calling to every single one of us is to what? Be strong and courageous, to meditate, to think about, to consider, to do his word. You have that calling. I have that calling. It doesn't matter what a vocation we may choose to be involved in. We all have the same calling. As a believer in Jesus as Savior, all of us have that same calling. And when you follow God's word, you will find the strength and courage to fulfill God's calling on your life. Here's another thing. We need to depend on God's presence. Look at verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We need to depend on God's presence. God says to Joshua, don't be afraid of the responsibility ahead, because I'm not sending you alone. I'm going to be there with you. I will be with you wherever you go. So if you know that God is calling you to be involved in his mission and his message, like we learned in our series of messages through the book of Acts, relax. Relax and in the knowledge that he is with you always. Now, what he said to Joshua, he doesn't say anything different to you and I even today. Find comfort in his company. This is how God encourages every believer, by reminding us over and over again that he is with us. God's calling for us as a church and for us as individuals in the church is the same calling. Remember what Jesus said before he ascended into heaven? He said, go and do what? Make disciples. So with God's presence, we have the strength and courage to accomplish that calling. Here's another thing. We need to serve with each other. We don't need to obey God's call alone. Instead, we can team up with other believers and serve God together. We can encourage each other in the task to which God has called all of us. That's what Joshua does. Now, up until this point, God has been encouraging Joshua. Now, watch this. Joshua encourages the Israelites. Look at verses 10 and 11. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan and go in to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. 40 years before this, the Israelites left their slavery and bondage in Egypt to take back the land that God had promised to their forefathers 400 years before that. Remember from our study in the book of Exodus? Now that that land is before them, Joshua says, get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready to do what? Take it. Now they are on the east side of the Jordan River with the promised land on the west side. 2.5 of the tribes of Israel had already decided that when they got to the east side of the Jordan River, this is good enough. We could be satisfied here. We could be comfortable here. We could make a good living here. We could stay here. This is where we want to be. And so they decided that that was the place for them. You know what? I've seen that in the church. I've seen people come to the church and they say, Pastor, you know what? I'm comfortable with who I am. Don't try to change me. It's not my job to change you, by the way. It's the Holy Spirit's job. I'm just a messenger. But if he through his word, he's speaking to you, through the counsel and wisdom of other people, he's speaking to you, through your praise and worship, he's speaking to you, then here's what I need to tell you. You better listen. And if he's telling you to change, you better change. If he's telling you to move, you better move. He's telling you that life needs to be different. Life needs to be different. But oh no, I get people who come into church and they sit in their chairs or they sit in the pews. When I've been in churches that had pews, and they cross their arms and they sit back in their chair and they stare at me with a cold, cold stare. And they go ahead, Pastor, make me change. I'm comfortable where I am. I'm comfortable who I am. You know what? That reminds me of the 2.5 tribes of Israel. They could have gone into the promised land. What did they decide? Well, you know what? I'm close. They could have crossed the Jordan River and been able to enjoy all that God had for us. But what did they say? Oh, this is close enough for us. We can see it. We can smell it. We can understand what's going on in there. We're comfortable right here. Folks, as we're going to be studying through the rest of our study of the book of Joshua, God doesn't want us, he doesn't call us to be comfortable. He calls us to be faithful, faithful to his calling. And if he says, I have this for you, he wants us to take it all. He wants us to enjoy it all. He wants us to appreciate it all. Not get to the place to say, I'm as close as I want to be, and so I'm not going any farther. We're going to see how for these 2.5 tribes of Israel, that really wasn't a wise decision on their part. So Joshua charges the men of those tribes to leave their wives and children behind and go into the promised land with the rest of them. Look at verse 12. We're going to read verses 12 down through verse 15. And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But all the men of valor among you, you shall pass over armed before your brothers and shall help them until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as he has to you. And they also take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and shall possess it. The land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. What is Joshua saying? Listen, I understand you made this decision. You only want to go so far. But you know what? I can't do this alone. Your brothers, your fellow Israelites, they can't do this alone. So we're going to need you to come alongside of us as we cross the Jordan River and as we fulfill what it is that God has called us to do. And what is that? To take back the land that he's promised our forefathers. And then when we've done that, when that is fulfilled, when that is completed, then you can go back across the Jordan River and then you can live in your comfort state. But until then, we need you. I need you, Joshua says, to be able to come and to be a part of us. Joshua said, they are in this together. And together, they need to conquer and possess the land God gave to them. Now watch their response. I'm going to pick it up in verse 16 and read down through verse 18. And they answered Joshua, all that you have commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Several times, God told Joshua, be strong and courageous. And now the Israelites are telling Joshua the same thing. So Joshua receives tremendous support from the people of God, which gives him great courage, and you can do the same thing, to find the courage in your service for God. Serve alongside other believers and encourage each other in the task to which God has called all of us. There's some verses in Hebrews chapter 10 that when I think about that, I'm reminded of. It's Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25. It says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." What is these verses in Hebrews telling us? We need to come together. We need to work together. We need to work alongside each other. It's not all about me, and it's not all about you. It's all about God working in us and through us to what? Fulfill his calling for us as individuals and us as a church. And what's that calling? To go and make disciples. And in the process of going and making disciples, to what? To be strong and courageous. When life gets hard, you need people who will encourage you. You need people to remind you of who you are in Christ and motivate you to be who you are. But you know, oftentimes when we've come to a place in our lives where maybe we're not feeling well, maybe spiritually we're not as strong as we once were, maybe somebody has pointed out some things in our life that shouldn't be there, maybe there's things that are going on in our life we don't want anybody to know, there's circumstances going on in our life we just don't want to share. We just don't want anybody sharing those with us. So what do? We isolate ourselves. We stay at home. We turn on the TV. We pull the covers up over our heads. That's the last thing we should be doing. We should be coming to where God's people are assembled, to where God has called people together to what? Fulfill his mission with his message. We talked about that over and over again in the book of Acts, and it's no different here in the book of Joshua. Why? Because God's method doesn't change. Why? Because God doesn't change. When life gets hard, you need people who will encourage you. To fulfill God's calling, you need people to come beside you. So come alongside people, and together use the strength and courage promised by God to do the mission that he has called each of us as believers to do. Are you familiar with sandhill cranes? These large birds that fly great distances across many continents have three remarkable qualities. First, they rotate leadership. No one bird stays out in front all the time. And second, they choose leaders who can handle turbulence. And then while one bird is leading, the rest are honking their encouragement. You know, that's a really good model for the church. Obviously, we need leaders who can handle turbulence. But most of all, we need a church family where we all are honking encouragement for one another. Y'all understand what that means, don't you? Okay? All right. So in this very first chapter of Joshua, what is it that I want you to walk away with this morning? Let me give you a couple things. First, stand up for God's truth. That's what Joshua's doing. Joshua could have said, "Whoa, God, look, I've been the assistant. I'm content to still be the assistant. I was Moses' helper. Yeah, I was kind of Moses' right hand. I'm willing to be someone else's right hand." That's not what God had for Joshua. And what did he say? Listen, in this new role that I'm calling you to, in this new responsibility, in this new calling that I'm giving to you, be strong and courageous. Because I'm with you every step of the way. And by the way, I've given you my truth. Stand up for my truth. Stand up for God's truth. Live for God with strength and courage. Don't be a weakling. Live for God with strength and courage. And then serve together. Serve God together with your church family. Father, thank you for these lessons that you taught us this morning from this very opening chapter of the book of Joshua. Father, there is so much in this book that we are going to learn. There are so many valuable lessons that we need to learn. There is so much about you in this book that we're going to learn. But Father, I pray that today, as we conclude this service, today as we get ready here in a few moments, to be able to leave this place, help us to stand up for God's truth. Because Father, our culture has lost its way. Father, the world is falling apart. The world is going farther and farther away from you, from the truth of your word. Father, help us to stand up for your truth. Because so to speak, we are the police. You've called us to be true and faithful to your word. Help us to live for you with strength and courage in the midst of a culture that is running faster and farther away from you than I think ever before. And then, Father, help each one of us to serve together in your church. Not independent, but together. To do what is best for your purpose, for your will. Not only for us as individuals, but for us as the church. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand with me for this last song?
To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Yes, give him the glory, great things he has done.